Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Hey, church family. Before we begin with our teaching from this past Sunday, I want to just let you know that we had some technical difficulties with our recording that day. And so the last several minutes of that message, I'm going to re-record. And so it may sound different, and that's okay. I pray that that's not a distraction for you as we embark together on this journey to discover who Jesus is and the life that he brings. Thanks for tuning in today, and I pray that God will bless you and anoint you today as you lean in and listen to the word of the Lord.
As we get started today, I want to begin with an important question for each one of us. It's perhaps a simple question. It sounds that way initially, at least. But it's a question that each one of us is going to have to answer sooner or later. Now, you don't have to answer this out loud, but I do want you to sincerely think about it in your mind. And here's the question. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? This is not a trick question. This is not a preacher's trap I'm drawing you into for a point. This is a genuine question. Who is Jesus? Is Jesus Lord? Is he God? Who is Jesus? Maybe you aren't sure today how quite to answer that question, and that's okay. You're in a safe and good place this morning to work through that question. We're beginning a new teaching series in the book of John called Five Keys from John. And in many ways, this series is a journey. It's an invitation to discover and answer that very question, who is Jesus? The Gospel of John, it was written around 80 or 90 AD by Jesus, one of Jesus' closest friends, the Apostle John. John was the oldest and last surviving eyewitness of the 12 disciples who were with Jesus. And we know that John put this work together. He wrote this letter for a very specific purpose because he tells us why he wrote. We find that explanation in chapter 20, verse 31. It says, "But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." John believes that the Jesus we discover, the Jesus we encounter through the stories in his gospel account, is alive and active. And that when we come to know him and believe in him, we find true and eternal life. Friends, if there was just one key to the Gospel of John, that would be it. Life in Jesus' name. Our teaching series begins today at the beginning. I would invite you to turn there, John chapter 1, the first five verses. The text is pretty short today, so would you stand with me? And if you're tired, it's okay. You can remain seated, but would you stand for the reading of God's Word? We'll read this together. It's on the screen. It's on a YouVersion event if you're a Bible app user. John 1, the first five verses says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." This is the word of the Lord for us today. Friends, you can be seated. When I said we were going to start at the beginning, I literally meant the very beginning. John starts his gospel. The first words right out of the gate are taking us back to the beginning of time itself to reveal a very key truth about who Jesus is. He reveals for us in these first five verses that Jesus is and always has been Lord. He is and always has been Lord, our journey to discover Jesus begins here in the beginning. So I would invite you, will you journey with us? Will you journey with us this morning and in the weeks ahead to discover who Jesus is and the life that he came to bring? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, this is your word. John has preserved these words for us by the power of your Spirit, Lord, that we might come to know you, come to believe in you, and have life in your name. So, Lord, may the words today of your word have their full effect of life in us, your life, Lord. And Lord, if there is some place today where we have a false idea or a misconception of who you are and what that means for us, God, we open ourselves to you that you would search us and know us. Lord, correct us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we jump into our study here today, I want to zoom out just a little bit and see where this passage fits in the context of the letter. And some of you are thinking, Pastor, are you okay? Clearly, it's in the beginning. Look, I know it's in the beginning, but it's within what we call a prologue. So a prologue is like an introduction. It's like giving us a little preview about what is about to be unpacked. It's letting us know what's going to come later in more detail. Y'all are well acquainted that my brain is weird. This won't come as a surprise to you. But as I was trying to think about the impact of a prologue, I thought about an old TV show I watched as a kid, and I got a picture of it, The Beverly Hillbillies. All right, who remembers this song? Yeah, come and listen to my story about a man named Jed. Poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. Then one day he was shooting at some food. Up from the ground came bubbling crude. Oil, that is. Right? Some of y'all are like, gee, man, nay. So why on earth is that? What does that have to, y'all will never look at the Gospel of John the same again. What does that have to do with anything? Within the introduction of this song, it lays out the story that every episode plays into. Every episode of the Beverly Hillbillies is playing out of the truth of Jed Clampett discovering oil and moving to Beverly Hills when he hit it rich. And so as we think about what's happening in the beginning of the Gospel of John, a prelude, he is opening up his gospel with the story that he is going to unpack the rest of the chapters of his work. And so what we see is that these themes and theological ideas are not just clickbait to draw us in. They are important theological themes for us to understand who is Jesus. Who is Jesus? And so as we look at the beginning of our text today, it is a critical point for us to understand as we begin our journey. So let's go back at verse 1 and just unpack what truth he is revealing there. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said he was with God in the beginning. You might hear, you might recognize this morning, an echo of the opening words of the Bible in Genesis 1. In the beginning. Except John here, he doesn't follow the in the beginning with God or Jesus. He says Word. Now, if we keep reading, we're going to see that he is, in fact, talking about Jesus, but he doesn't start there. He starts using a Greek word called logos. L-O-G-O-S. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God. And you might be wondering, if John's talking about Jesus here, why didn't he just say that? It's a great question. I think it comes because this term Logos, in John's time, in his culture, it had such a broad net of meaning for so many different people. For the Greek thinkers and philosophers of his day, Logos brought about the idea of inner thought and reason, kind of what makes up the inner life and the deeper things of philosophy, what made the world move. Other people felt that Logos was like the essence or the soul of a person. Now, on the other hand, so that covers the Greek philosophy. If you come into someone from a Jewish tradition, when they hear the Word, it's going to trigger thoughts for them from the Old Testament, where God's Word was the effective agent, the power at which things were created and done. And so what John has done here is at the very beginning of his gospel, he has flung the doors open wide to meet people right where they are and invite them on a journey to discover the real essence and meaning of life is in fact the person of Jesus. He's opened the door wide and invited everyone to come and see who and what is at the center of life. And what we find here is that John shares some central truths about the identity of Jesus. He says, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. It says, so he's trying to get us to see that Jesus was present before the beginning we read about in Genesis. Jesus always was. He is eternal. It says the Word was with God. The Word was God. And so what we see is that Jesus always was with God. So we see that he is, yes, distinct from God, but he is yet at the same time one with God. And of course, we start to get into Trinitarian theology when we think about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And John, again, is introducing us. He's inviting us into that reality and that conversation here. God and Jesus are one. Jesus is Lord from the beginning. From the beginning. Let's continue in verse 3. It says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Here John is showing us that Jesus is the all-powerful agent in creation. Paul says in Colossians 1:16, it says, for in him, in Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Jesus is the central figure in creation. Nothing has been made without him, and we will see in the next verse that nothing has life without him either. Let's continue in verse 4. It says, in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. See how rapidly we're building up to who Jesus is. So he's just spoken about Jesus as creator. Life and light, as we read it in this verse, they have their natural meaning, the natural implication for life to exist on earth. That's certainly true. But if we stop here, we would miss a central truth that John is trying to convey to us. Because what we see as we continue throughout his gospel, when John talks about life and light, he's often referring to spiritual realities, not just biological. And so what we read here in the first few verses is that Jesus is the source of true and lasting spiritual and eternal life. Light is the revelation, the revealing grace that allows us to see our true spiritual condition apart from him. He is the life and the light. Friends, this is a preview of the saving action of Jesus that we'll see at the end of the gospel where Christ is on the cross. He is the light and the life. Continue. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. As Jesus is the life and the light, he is also triumphant over the powers of darkness. That's good news today, friends. That's good news. Because look, John is not making a simple observation about how a candle can light up a dark room. He's not scared that evil is going to come into a room when we turn the light switch off. This does not mean you need to stay out of your dark basement. That's not what he's talking about. This, again, he's picking up and pulling in figurative language. It's a metaphor that he's going to use throughout his writings. For John, and this is critical, when he talks about darkness, it's not an absence of light that he's concerned with. It's the presence of evil. That's darkness for John. And so when we bring that understanding into verse 5, into our teaching text, we see that Jesus, the light of the world, brings life where darkness, where evil once ruled. He has the power and the authority over the forces of evil. It has not, nor will it ever, overcome him. Friends, this is Jesus. This is Jesus, the express wisdom of God made flesh, one with God from before the beginning, creator, author, sustainer of life, savior of the world, defeating darkness, bringing salvation in the light of eternal life. This is Jesus, Lord, at the very heart of all creation and life itself. Friends, this is a central key that John is trying to lay out for us today as we seek to discover who Jesus is. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to continue to explore more key themes that John brings forth for us as we take this journey to discover Jesus. Our goal is not only to discover the truths about Jesus contained in the gospel, but to be equipped, empowered to walk out these essential teachings in our everyday faith journey. Next week, we will see Jesus as the resurrection and the life. We see that the life found in Jesus is not bound by death. It's good news, friends. We're going to study Jesus' prayer in chapter 17 to understand our calling in the Lord's heart for our lives. And we're going to look at the post-resurrection account of Jesus with Thomas to understand the blessing of faith in our lives and how that can help us when we face doubts. Have you ever faced doubt? And finally, we're going to see the authority and power of Jesus at work following his resurrection and know that that same power is at work in our lives and in our world today. Will you journey with us? Will you journey with us as we seek to discover Jesus and the life that he brings? You might say, Pastor, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Like, this is already, in just a couple minutes, has been a really dense, like, hard-hitting sermon. It's kind of hard to wrap our minds around Jesus as God with him, but yet distinct from him. It's hard to wrap our minds around all that. Like, what's the big deal? What is the importance of this journey? Why should we drill down for weeks on end to the details to understand who he is? Isn't enough to just believe in him? I think that's a good question to ask this morning. You can always ask questions like that here. That's what we're here for. I think for two things this morning. There would be a lot, of course, but I want to highlight two things that I think are important for us to consider as we begin this journey. I think it's important to have a solid biblical understanding of who Jesus is, because you are going to encounter people or people groups who have some very different ideas about who Jesus is. And some of them are not true. And hey, I'm not saying that to invoke any kind of fear. I'm not proposing any sort of false persecution narrative. I'm just trying to look at the objective reality that there are a lot of varying opinions about who Jesus is, and not all of them are true. Imagine with me that you are driving down the road, minding your own business, and you see this sign beside the road. Jesus is not God. The subtitle says, Scripture says Jesus did not pre-exist in heaven. What do you think? What are you thinking right now? What do you think? What do you think? Does this make you question everything you've ever heard or been taught about Jesus? Jesus is not God. What do you think? Friends, a sign just like this one is beside Route 250 as you come down the mountain from Afton and into Waynesboro. This is 30 minutes from here, friends. And they're popping up all over the country. When I first saw this sign beside the road, my mind completely skipped the knot. And I saw it, and I'm like, oh, cool, a Jesus is Lord sign. And then, like, the marbles rattled clear, and I'm like, wait a minute, that says Jesus is not Lord. And in that moment, I had to start rolling my Rolodex around. Who do I know Jesus to be? Wait, like, what are they doing with John 1, 1 through 5? Jesus is God. He's always been. My next thought probably could have been better, but it sounded like, who's putting up this garbage? Have a better response. Pray for them to close. Friends, here's the point. You will have to answer that in your car when you drive by it. And the reality is it's not just going to come from billboards beside the road. You are going to have friends, family members, coworkers who may be of a Muslim faith. They may be Mormon or Jehovah's Witness. Friends, they would essentially agree with this. It's important to know who Jesus is for your life. It's important to know. This is not about winning arguments. This is not about tearing down signs. This is just about knowing that we know who Jesus is. Why is that important? Because John tells us that knowing Jesus is how we find life in his name. It's how we find life.
Our teaching text today reveals Jesus as the center of all creation, author and sustainer of life, savior of the world, champion over darkness, with God from the beginning, God for all time. And friends, if we believe that is true, if we believe that central truth that John puts forward in the first five verses, if we profess Jesus as Lord, then he should be the very center of our lives. Friends, our lives should be different, that without words even, our lives would proclaim what we believe about Jesus, that he is Lord. Author and teacher Dennis Kinlaw says this. He says, it is absolutely imperative for those of us who claim that Jesus Christ is the center of our existence to live a life that truly reflects the reality of Christ. Kinlaw continues, he says, don't claim that Jesus is the center of your existence if your life does not provide the proof of your claim. So, in other words, if we believe that Jesus is Lord and center of the whole universe, then our lives should revolve around that very truth. Jesus is not just Lord out there in some kind of objective way, though that is true. What this means is that, friends, he is Lord in here in my life. And what Kinlaw is trying to get us to see is that this is not just a verbal affirmation, that what we believe about the person of Jesus, how we would answer who he is, shows up in how we treat others, in what we post on social media, what we say about people who voted for the other person. Friends, all of these things reflect and they tell the world what we really believe about Jesus. Our life focus, our family, our careers, our fun, every aspect of our daily lives reflects what we believe about Jesus. And if I talk down and belittle people, if I engage in sexuality however I feel like it, if I pursue wealth and worldly things without care or concern, then what I truly believe about Jesus is my own interpretation. It's my own redaction from the reality presented in the scriptures. You see, I'm picking and choosing in those moments what I like. I might believe he's a good teacher or a nice guy, but I don't believe he is Lord. What I value about him is what is comfortable to me. I'm not living the true life that he came to give. Friends, when we live like that, we are not living as if the Lord is the center of the universe. We are living as if I am the center of the universe. And friends, that is not a biblical view of who Jesus is. That is not how we are called to live. A.W. Tozer says that what we believe about Jesus is the most important thing about us. And friends, I want you to consider your answer today to the question, who is Jesus? I especially want you to think about the answer that your life, your actions, your desires, your drives, how would they answer that question without words? Who is Jesus? Is he the center of your life? Or if you were really honest, if you were going to open yourself up before the Lord, is Jesus the center of your life, or are you the center of your own universe? Maybe it's your career, your family, relationships that hold the highest regard, the highest center in your life today. And friends, the invitation for us in that place is that we need to allow Jesus to have his rightful place in our life. You see, God won't force himself into that place in your life. He won't force his way into the center of your life. We must surrender. We must let go of our right to ourselves and invite him to be Lord of our life. And look, friends, this is not the preacher wagging a long condescending finger at you and what you're doing, Lord. This is me saying, look, I've lived in control of my own life, and it's a mess. Friends, the reality is when we are the center of our own universe, it is ever crumbling in on top of us and suffocating the true life out of us. And so the invitation today is that we would invite Jesus to be the center of our life. That our very words and actions every day would preach to the whole world that Jesus is Lord. Friends, that's the invitation today. To know him, not just out there, not just as a cool Sunday school lesson, but to know him as the resurrected Son of God, alive within us, in the rightful position of throne and ruler in our lives. And from that place of Lord in our life, to direct every thought and every desire to the fulfillment of his will and to his glory in our world and in our time. Friends, our invitation today is simple. And that is simply to surrender. You see, we have to discern what is really driving my life. What is the central motivating factor? What's the highest regard? And in that answer, we have to surrender that place. We have to remove those things from the center of our life. And we invite Jesus, Lord, to be the center and ruler of our life. So friends, as we pray today, I would just invite you, wherever you are, that maybe in response today, as we pray that we would invite Jesus to be the center of our life, that we would just put our hands out with our palms down, as a sign of surrender, a sign that we are letting go of control, we are letting go of our right to ourselves, and we are inviting Jesus to be the center of my life. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the truth of your word, how you have preserved John's words for us even today. And Lord, what he's communicating about you is that you are Lord and you are master of the universe, creator and sustainer of life. But more than that, you are desiring and you've made a way that you can be Lord of my life. And Lord, I recognize that's not always been true. I've lived on the throne of my own life and pushed you aside. Lord, today I'm asking, with my palms facing down, that you would be Lord of my life. Lord, I'm dependent on you and the move of your Spirit to search my heart, to know, to reveal to me what areas I am unwilling to let go of, unwilling to allow you to be Lord, and that those things I would surrender to you and allow you to be Lord of every area of my life. Lord Jesus, you are always faithful and you are good. And so, Lord, today as we pray with our palms down as a sign of surrender, we invite you, Lord Jesus, to be Lord of our lives, of my life. Lord, from that place, will you transform my life to one of surrender, a life lived by faith in you. Lord, we need you today. We love you and we invite you to your rightful place in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.